Wonderful. Thank you so much. That was wonderful. It's good to see you today. If you've got a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to be today. And I just want to say, personally, it's a real honor to be here today. I enjoy the time that we have together, and looking forward to the time. I have to admit, though, when I stepped off the plane, being from Tampa, Florida, we counted it up. There was a 37-degree difference from when I got on the plane and when I got off the plane. So it was a shock as I walked into here. But I tell you, it is an honor to be here today, because I know what you're doing. I know the way you're studying. I know what you're studying for, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. I have kind of a different background. I like to tell you, because so then you know a little bit behind a little bit of the style of who I am. In reality, I was a student pastor. I was a youth pastor a lot longer than I ever was being a pastor now. In fact, I mean, he says senior pastor, and that still sounds strange to me. I came out of school. Student ministry was what I always wanted to do and wanted to all happen. And I was in student ministry for 10 years. So if I still feel, in fact, I can still stand in front of a school assembly, a public school assembly, a lot easier than I can even stand in front of you. I still feel real comfortable with students. But about 8 years ago, I was the student pastor at a church in Tampa, Florida, a smaller church, a church that was smaller. It was about to go under, and that's how the whole thing started. So I had an opportunity to start a church, to plant a church, and I'd always wanted to. Don't know if I fit into that senior pastor. I still feel like I'm a youth pastor inside of all this, right? So if you see a little bit of overexpression, you kind of know, okay, we'll just kind of dismiss it. Okay, well, he was a former youth pastor, all right? So, but it is good. It's good to be here this morning, and I want to talk to you on a subject this day. I want to really get real practical with you this morning. I mean, I really want you to walk out of here and to be encouraged, and also to be challenged in one particular area. And let me tell you what, you're not gonna walk out of here today, okay? Let me tell you what you're not gonna walk out of here saying, you know, never a man spake like Jeff spake today, all right? you're not gonna say that, okay? Because I know what you hear. I looked at the list of what you've heard in chapels, okay, this semester. You're definitely not gonna hear that today. But I do want to, in fact, I'm probably not even gonna share anything new with you. I just wanna bring back to your memory some things that are real important when you talk about ministry. And you know, it's kind of like in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, when Peter was talking to them, he said, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them. In other words, Peter was continuing to tell them because, you know, when we get our eyes off focus, and let me tell you, it's real easy to do that. When we get our eyes off focus, it's usually in one of those basic areas. And so I kind of just want to talk to you about today. If you like a title, okay, it kind of helps you. And I almost didn't call it this because I'll have to explain it. But the title today is Steward Thinking, okay? Steward Thinking. I almost didn't title it that because I thought you might think I might take up an offering or something, right? But that really is not what I'm talking about today. Steward Thinking is a mindset. It's a mindset of how you see yourself. And you know, just as we were having a prayer before we walked over today, We were praying, and obviously Hutch Ryan was praying. You know, Lord, this is not about us, okay? This is not about us. In fact, everything that's done here at this school, and everything you will do in ministry, if you can keep that mindset that it's not about you, but that you are a steward of the things that God has entrusted to you, that's what I'm talking about today. Talking about a steward thinking and keeping a steward mindset. You know, when you think of ministry, when you think about ministry, the word ministry just means to serve. It means a servant. And when you think about the word steward, and you hear it so often, in fact, when I stand up to share, we have so many new believers at the church that I'm at. In fact, we have probably right at now, I'd say 50 to 60% of our church are what I would call new believers, 2 years old in the Lord or less. And so I have to explain all the terms, because all these terms have gotten used and abused so often. I mean, immediately when you hear the word steward, where we're from in Tampa, that's immediately turned, oh, he's talking about money today. But steward's not a money thing, okay? A steward is nothing more than a servant who has responsibilities. A servant who has responsibilities for which he's accountable to God for. You know, it's like the parable of the talents. And in fact, that Jesus told the parable of the talents, and over there in Matthew 25, I believe, and he basically says the kingdom of heaven is like, you know, a man who goes on a journey, and he entrusts his property to his servants. And their job is to go out and invest. And he entrusted 5 to 1, 2 to 1, 1 to another. And they went out and they invested, are you ready for this? What had already been entrusted to them. And so they went out and invested it. And when he came back after his long journey, okay, he had an accounting time, accountability. Stewards are always accountable. And so that's kind of what I want to talk to you about is that when we are stewards, okay, we are stewards, not owners. And when you think like a steward, it'll keep your mind in the right direction. But the minute you cease to become a steward and you become an owner, that's when problems begin. And I've seen it in my own life, and I've seen it in the ministry that I'm a part of, is that we're stewards, not owners. We've been entrusted with certain giftings. I look across, and again, this is a great joy to be here today. It just thrills my heart to see so many people that in one place, because I don't get a chance to do this, see this much, see a whole lot of people in one place that God has called into ministry and called into service and called to be a steward, because I'm looking in this room and I'm guaranteeing there's quite a bit of talent that's been entrusted in this room. God has entrusted it to you. And you're accountable for that. And so that we've been entrusted with talents, we're stewards, we've been entrusted with talents, okay? We've been instructed to invest and to always remember there's going to be an audit one day, okay? Always remember there's going to be an audit one day. If you keep that in your mind, okay, then you know you're accountable not to you, but to who God is. Not to the people that you serve, but to who God is. And let me tell you something. If you think an IRS audit's bad, right? You wait till the GOD audit comes through, okay? You're talking thorough. He knows not only what you do, but he knows why you do it. So today, I just want to kind of go that direction. Using the talents that we have, that God has given us to serve others, to invest in the life of others, is the key to ministry, okay? So everything that you have, you've been given your life. In fact, the very breath you breathe today is a gift from God. It's been entrusted to you as a believer, as a steward. And then we are called to invest that. God has not called us to be selfish, but to be selfless, and to invest in and invest in others, you know. And I tell you something, just telling you a little bit personally, right before we get into the passage. I personally, as a lost person, I didn't come to know the Lord till I was 20. Okay, and as a lost person, just to be honest with you, I really don't like people. In fact, I can't really stand to be around people. When I'm not in the Spirit, the last thing I want to do is be around people. In fact, my type person, I've told our congregation this, you know. Listen, you can always tell if I'm not in the Spirit because I don't like you. I mean, that sounds bad, but it's the truth. I mean, I'm a Tennessean, right? I grew up in Tennessee, and I my type personality, you can sit me on a mountain somewhere by myself. I see people every 2 or 3 days, I'll be fine. And what did God do? He sits me in the middle of Tampa, Florida, where we're a mile and a half from downtown Tampa, okay, amongst crowds and cars and everything that you can imagine. But God's called us to that, because when you're in the Spirit, people are something you're to love. And that's how I can know when I'm in the Spirit, because I don't love people when I'm not. So we're called then to serve, taking the very life that we've been given and giving it away, investing it into other people is what God's called us to do. Why has he called us to do that? Because that's what Christ did. That's what Christ did. So the principles, I just want to share with you a few principles today of steward thinking. And you're going to find it here in Matthew chapter 6. 90% of the time, 95% of the time, I'm just going to walk you through these verses, and I just want to pull practical principles out that keep our mindset, steward mindset. Okay? Now, in chapter 6, I don't have time to go through the whole passage. We're actually going to start in verse 19, but I want to kind of give you the context of what Jesus is saying there. If you'll start in chapter 6, verse 1, and we'll just read verse 1, and then I want to kind of talk you through the first 18 verses, and then I want to get you to verse 19. Okay? In verse 1 of chapter 6, it says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them." In other words, he is saying, obviously, who's he addressing here? He is addressing not lost people, he's addressing religious people. People who obviously don't see themselves as stewards, but as owners. They want you to look at them and what they're doing. They want the credit, they want the applause. He says, be careful that in what you do, the ministry that God has called you to do, be real careful that you don't do it for people. Why? Because you're not accountable to people. Okay? You're a steward that has been entrusted by God into your life for the incredible talents He's given you. So make sure that you don't fall into the trap. And it's a huge trap. Okay? You're always going to have people tell you how wonderful you are. And the problem is if you start believing it. Okay? If you ever get to where you're believing it, you need to quit. Okay? Because you've got to always keep the mindset, is that God, if there's anything good that comes out of me, it has to be you, because I know my heart. I know what's in here. I know what I'm capable of. So if lives are changed and people come up to you and say, boy, you know, I don't know where I'd be without you, you have to be real careful to say, I didn't have anything to give them. I just gave you what God had already given me. If you keep that mindset, it'll keep you on the direction that God wants you to be on. But when you lose it, it can mean a whole lot of problems. And that's what he begins to talk about. He goes down, first of all, in verse 2 and through verse 4, he talks about giving. In other words, don't announce it when you give. And then the next part, he talks about praying in verse 5. You know, don't stand on the street corners and let everybody see how godly you are because you can pray. And then he goes on down past that. He talks about fasting in verse 16. In other words, don't walk around moping around with your face drawn and, oh, I'm fasting today, so that everybody will go, ooh, look how spiritual that person is. You know, so that's the context here. So let's dive right into verse 19. If you like taking notes, principle number one, invest in the eternal. God has entrusted you with certain talents, abilities. He's invested in you with time, resources. Invest in the things that count. Don't waste your time on the things that don't matter. Let's look at the verse. Look at verse 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where the moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Invest in the eternal. In other words, put what God's given you in the things that are going to last. You know, I remember in college, I was a business major, and I don't remember much, okay? But I do remember one day, a guy coming up, I think it was economics class, and he talked about what creates value. Okay, value is created by two things. Okay, number one, how much does it cost? And number two, how long is it going to last? You know how easy it is to get sucked up in thinking that the things of this world, the temporary things, of how important they are. And we give things away that really are temporary. Now think about this. Value, how much does it cost? You know, our salvation cost the life of Jesus Christ. That's how much it costs. The cost is infinite. And how long is it going to last? I mean, I'm talking in 10,000 years, it'll still be brand new. If you get that perspective, that steward perspective, that eternal perspective, it makes what you do different. But you still have to live here. That's what makes it hard. Okay? Owners invest in this world. Stewards invest in the eternal. Now, see where it says there, where your treasure is? I'd like to even substitute the word treasure for investments. What are you investing in? What are you throwing your life into and saying, this is what I'm counting on coming through for me? Your choice reveals your loyalty. Okay? So good. So principle number one is invest in the eternal. Principle number two, okay? You can't divide your loyalties. Look at verse 22 through verse 24. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and yourself. You cannot find your security in both God and money. Okay? So you can't have divided loyalties. And you know, the great question today, and you know, and I know you're thinking, well, Jeff Harrah, I'm in school for this, okay? But you have to hear me. Who owns you? Who owns you? It makes a big difference in the way you approach everything. You know, when you think about, I like the way that Rick Warren says shape. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that, but he talks about your stuff, your shape, you know, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your passions, your abilities is the A, your personality is the P, and the E, okay, are your experiences. Okay, all those things along with your time, who owns those? Who benefits most from those things? Okay? You know, and I understand a little bit of this, but I try not to, you know, I don't see myself as a pastor. I don't see myself as a CEO. See, I think we're bringing that world stuff into, you know, you're a steward. You're a servant. And everything you have in your life has been entrusted to you. If you've had opportunities in your life, I want you to know that that is something that's been entrusted to you. It's not something you earned. Everything you have, down to the mind that you have, to be able to understand Greek, God help us all. Oazai, Amineti, Usi. I think it was the only thing I remembered, okay? I'm kidding. I do remember a little more than that. Not much, but a little bit more. So think about it. Think about it. Down to the very end is that you can't divide. You can't play both sides. You know, let me just tell you this. This is an illustration. Say that you owned a beach house, and you're saying, Jeff, I wish. Okay, but let's just for the instance, say you owned a beach house, and you were going out of town for 6 months, and you looked at me and you said, Jeff, hey, how would you like to just live at the beach house while I'm out of town for 6 months? And I said, man, that would be great. He says, you can use the car. You can just, it's just, you know, just you can stay there for 6 months while I'm gone. You can look after the place, whatever. And I said, great. And so I moved in, and for 6 months, think about this, for 6 months I was living there, and you called back 2 or 3 months into it, and I started referring to things like my bedroom and my car. And then when you got back, you found that I had knocked a few holes in the wall and thought that I would expand a few rooms. I changed the locks. And I started talking to, hey, would you like to come over and visit me at my beach house? Okay, listen to this. I had messed up. Listen to this. I went from being a steward to an owner. I was taking what had been entrusted to me and acting like it was mine. I don't know what abilities you have today. Obviously, probably a whole lot of you have communicative abilities. Obviously, a lot of you have a mind that can figure out a whole lot of things, but I want you to understand this. Don't ever, ever think that they're yours. That's where you'll mess up. Oh, well, you know, that's mine. You'll mess up, and it'll lead you down paths you don't want to go down. Why? Because God gave you those things. Don't assume that they're yours. They're God-given. Okay? Do you know? Just to stop, just to think a minute. This is just, again, is anything different? You hadn't heard anything that you haven't heard before? I just want to bring it to your mind again. Do you know how easy it is to take ownership of ministry? Do you know how easy it is to start looking around and thinking, here's two ways you can know that you've taken ownership. Number one, you worry about it all the time. Okay? That's number one way you can know. And number two is your ego. Okay? Those are the two ways you can tell you've taken ownership. Okay? Number one's worry, as if you can do something about it, right? And the other is ego, which means you've taken credit for it. And I'm telling you something. There isn't anything that smells worse than a minister who has a huge ego. And they walk around acting like they've done something. I think it's an affront to the face of God to stand to ego. To stand in ego and pride, it's the one thing, obviously, it's what God hates the most. We're a steward. We're a steward of what God has given us. Principle number three. God meets the needs of those that are his stewards. Verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, or about your body, what you're going to wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, and they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Let me hit one little rabbit trail. Y'all give me that, won't you? One little rabbit trail here. Right? Just, you know, I love animals. You get where I'm getting at? I love animals, but I want to tell you this. They're not as important as we are in God's eyes. And I tell you, when it comes down to the life of an animal and the life of one that's been created in God's image, God calls us much more valuable than they. I don't care politically what they say. That doesn't matter. Aren't you much more valuable than they? Continue to read. Who of you by worrying can add a single cubit to, single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Look at this. For the pagans run after those things. Who are the pagans? The pagans are the ones that this is all they've got, is the temporary. I mean, that's why the lost world lives the way that they live. I mean, I see it right in front of my face where I live. A lost world running after things that will never satisfy them. Okay? Never satisfy them. Continue to read. For the pagans run after those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So principle number three, God meets the needs of his stewards. Okay? So think about this, is that God knows those that are his. And if you see yourself as a steward, he has promised to take care of every need that you have. He's entrusted you with gifts to spend, obviously the way he calls you to spend it, but then he's promised to take care of you. You see, we want to be independent. We want to think we can take care of ourselves, but in reality, God wants to teach us by making us dependent on him. God will always, God's will, if you remember this, God's will always has God's provision. Always. I mean, that's Henry Blackaby's just amazing, simplistic thought. Attempt only the things that God can do. If you can figure out how you can do it, then God's probably not in it. God's will has God's provision. And that way, if he's working it through you, then great things can happen. It's kind of like the river. And think about this. It's kind of like the river that flows from heaven into you. And then God is meeting your needs, and then those needs are flowing out to others. And as long as the river flows through you and out to others, a flowing river is fresh. But how many times do we get so busy? And this is me. How many times do I get so busy that I don't spend the time with God that I need? I shut this river off, but I'm still trying to give out, right? And then I run dry and then wonder what's wrong. The way that God can do incredible things through you is if it's the river that flows from you, from him to you, and then to others. Principle number four, God has to be your first priority. You know, verse 33 is one of those verses that, I mean, there's a song we've been singing for 25 years. And let's read it, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, principle number four, is that God has to be your first priority. I mean, he's the top. You see, an owner says, I'm the priority. But a steward says, God is the first priority, making sure that anything that he does good through you, that he receives the glory for it. Because everything in your life has come from him. You know, when you think like an owner, what do you say? Well, my opinion matters. You almost get upset when people don't take your opinion. What does a steward say? What does a steward say? A steward says, God's word is supreme. You know how much trouble we get in when we start saying that our opinion matters? God's word's what matters. When you get God's word into your life, it's something that's solid. And I tell you what, you know when divisions come in a church? Is that when they take their eyes off God's word and put it on their opinions. They become owners. They become saying, well, you know, I think we ought to. It doesn't matter what you think. I try to tell our congregation as often as I can, I really don't care what you think. I really don't care what you think. It may make someone mad, but I want you to understand this. It only matters is the direction God takes us and what his word says. I don't see how people make it without God's word in their life. I don't see how you, I mean, worry and all the rest of it comes when you don't have something solid like that. So the thinking, but then also the perspective. The perspective of an owner is that, you know, God really needs me. Well, if God didn't have me, you know, he'd really be in trouble in this situation. Okay? That's what an owner says. But what does a steward say? A steward says, I'm a servant. I feel privileged for God to be able to use me. It's a difference. See what I mean? The thought today is steward thinking. thinking like a steward. Again, it's not anything new that you haven't heard, but I wanted to bring it back to your mind and put it in your mind, and in everything you do in ministry, understand these principles that you heard here. First of all, invest in the internal. Don't divide your loyalties. Okay? Number three, remember that God is going to take care of you if you're His. And number four, make sure that everything in your life, God is the priority. You know, I want to just show you one thing. I don't know if you guys have this on a, but I just want to show you this is real simplistic and it's really kind of neat. But when you think about these things, think about your shape, right? I've already gone over those. Those are your abilities, your spiritual gifts, your personality, and all that, who God made you to be. Then you think about your time and your resources. And you put all that together, okay? How does an owner think? If you've got a piece of paper, did we get this? Did I get this to y'all in time? Yes, you do. Invest in your life. Okay, maybe you did. All right? If it happens, but on one column, put over here on one column, put owner at the top. Okay? And now down under number one, how does an owner react? Number one, an owner reacts is that the most important thing in his life is self. Self. Number two is job. Number three is family. Number four is friends. And then if there's anything left over at the end, we'll give it to God. Okay? So think about that for a second. That's the problem. When self is at the top, then everything serves self. You think about your time. And I'll tell you what, and you think of Jeff, you're talking to people who are in seminary, Jeff. Okay, it's the same principle. Think about your time. How many times do we spend our time in every other way, and then we give God the leftovers? The midnight, the 1 o'clock in the morning, when you're laying in bed and you open it up and your eyes are bloodshot, you know, and you wake up 3 hours later, you know, and you drooled all over your Bible. Okay, that's not the best. That's not the priority. The priority is Him first. Look at the difference between an owner and a steward. Look at the steward. The steward has God as the first priority in his life. The first priority for my personality, for my abilities. Everything God has spent the way you want it to be spent. You are the priority. The best time of my day, whenever the best time of your day is, God, it is yours completely. If it's the first thing in the morning, God, I'm giving you the best of it. Not the leftovers, but the best of it. What's the second priority? I think the scriptures talk about our family as the second priority. Our family. A lot's to be said there about using our gifts and our ability and our time to meet the needs of our families. Number three is our job. I think the scriptures talk about if a man has paid for 8 hours of work, you ought to give him 8 hours of work. I think that's a priority, but it's all driven by your first priority. See the difference? And then on down with friends. And then if there's anything left over at the end, you can have it. Right? But do you see the difference? The fight. And this is how I'm going to close. And again, I want you to be real careful to say, to look in the mirror here. You know, James's mirror. To look in the mirror and say, God, I really want to take a look here. If you're saying right now, man, I'm glad so-and-so's here. They really need to hear this. Okay? You've missed it. All right? I'm talking to you. It's like the guy on the plane that was coming down here. Now, we were getting on the plane. And it got backed up down the jetway. And we're standing there. And go ahead and answer that and tell him I'll call him back in a minute. All right? All right? And we're standing down the jetway, right? And we're standing there and we're waiting. I don't know what happened. Maybe they're loading something or somebody. And we're standing in the jetway. And all the lights went out in the jetway. And there's this guy right behind me. And he says, oh, great, now they're making us wait. Now they turn the lights out on us. And I look back at him, and I'm like, relax. And the little lady comes back there and says, excuse me, sir, he'd leaned up against the light. He'd turn the light off. You know, it's real easy to say that it's everybody else, right? But I tell you what, if you can learn to look at you first, it makes a big difference. When you look at this today, do you really see that there's everything in your life belongs to God? And you are simply a steward that will be held accountable one day for how you used it. That's the fight. The fight of our lives as believers is keeping God the priority. And if you think it's not hard, you haven't tried it yet. Because it's the fight of your life. It comes down to sometimes, I mean, Paul even said it. In Romans, and don't turn to it, let me just read it to you. You've heard it before. But in Romans, Chapter 7, verse 21. Listen to this. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. That was Paul. And so understand, that's going to be a fight, y'all. That is going to be a fight that we'll all be in. But I'll tell you what, make sure you stay in the fight of keeping self dead and being alive spiritually. It's the fight that goes on within here. And this is where I'll close. But I heard a little story that I think, you've heard it before probably, but just again to remind it to you. It's a Cherokee, it's an Indian story, one of those Indian proverbs. It's a story about two wolves. Listen to this. One evening, an old Cherokee told his grandson about a battle that was going on inside of him. He said, "My son, it's between two wolves. One is evil. Anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, insecurity, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other wolf is good. Joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, and so on." And the grandson thought about this for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf wins?" His grandfather replied simply, "The one I feed. The one I feed." The battle that's going on in here, because the flesh wants to own. Doesn't matter if you're in ministry. It doesn't matter like if you like I do and stand in a pulpit every Sunday and every Wednesday. It's the fight to say and to constantly say, "Lord, it's yours. I'm a servant. I'm not even responsible for the results. I'm just responsible to do what you've called me to do." You know, and I have to tell you this because I think it's real important for you to see just the transparency. So for a while, I've done pretty good with that within the church setting. Because I make it real clear that the staff that works with me, I make it real clear, okay, I'm a servant of you. What can I do to help you do your job better? And I try to do that. But you know where I've messed up recently? Is at home. You know, I've married to one of the most wonderful girls in all the world. Her name is Martha. And I know you're saying, "No, you aren't. I'm married to the most..." Okay, well, other than yours, okay? I'm married to the most wonderful girl in the world. And you know, but do you know what I'm called to do as a husband? I'm called to service her needs. You know, and I get so high and mighty sometimes in ministry and thinking, "Oh God, you know, look what this is happening. Oh God, I'm trying real hard here." And it's like I look to her, "Okay, now you got to do everything else." Okay? But you know, I've noticed recently that I'm to model that in front of my wife and children. They need to see me not as in charge, but as servants to them. You know, when I look at my life and I see that I have been gifted in four major areas. Saying, "Boy, Jeff, that's a little ego, isn't it?" No. Okay, listen to me. Okay? Their names are Sarah, Dorothy, Christopher, and Carrie. God has gifted me with four beautiful children. And you want to know, one day I'll stand before God and give an account. What did you show them? What did you teach them? I don't care what you did down at the church. What did you do with the people that I gave you, your children, your wife? I had to repent of those things. I had to go to my wife and say, "You know, things are going to be different. You're going to start seeing a different me. It's not as demanding. It's going to be more serving." I tell you what, it's one of the most, like, "Oh, wretched man that is." Like what Paul said, it jumps up and grabs you sometimes the worst times. So anyway, understanding as I'm done. You know, and, you know, youth pastors, when they say that they're done after the fifth time, they really are, okay? But, so this is the fifth time. Is to keep this in mind. If there's one thing you remember from today, is steward thinking. Continuing to see yourself for who you really are. A sinner saved by grace. A sinner saved by grace. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Lord, thank you so much, God, just for the time we've had with you this morning. And God, your word, Lord, the more we read it, the more it reads us. And Lord, we see ourselves on every page. And God, we see how much you loved us. God, when you sent your only son. And God, and then not only past that, that you could use us for your purposes. God, I don't understand why you want to, but Lord, God, I'm honored that you do. And I pray for every person here today, Lord, that you've called into some sort of ministry. I pray, Lord, that we'll keep the focus, that, Lord, it's not about us. Lord, it's about you. It's not about what we can accomplish. It's about what you can get done in and through all of us. And God, in the end, we're going to be real careful to make sure that people know that it's because of you. And Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pastor, for reminding us that we are servants and stewards of those things our Lord has entrusted to us. I'm going to ask Dr. Parrish to be here near the front so you can come by and thank him for his ministry among us today. I want to encourage you to be in chapel tomorrow, our final chapel service of this semester. Dr. Alan Mosley will be preaching, and I know that you'll want to come and hear him. And I believe our orchestra will be playing tomorrow, and we'll just have an exciting time in this final service of this semester and the final service before we enjoy our Christmas holidays. You're dismissed. Thank you.